What's for breakfast? Our chance to pull up a chair to a KAXC member's kitchen table and get to know them a little better. This morning, we join Gary Eustace in Hibbing. Hi, Gary.
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for inviting us over for breakfast.
Well, when you hear what I've had, you won't want to come again.
Okay, what's for breakfast?
Well, you know, I listen to your show, and everybody, you know, always has such a nice, extensive, wholesome breakfast. And I woke up this morning, and first thing I did was pop a can of Diet Coke. You got to have that caffeine.
Sure, you're not
I,
the only one.
I followed that with just a small container of cherry-flavored yogurt. So I had to get all my nutrients and all my minerals.
I would guess that that supplies some sort of a chemical reaction.
It probably will at some point. But I'm really not a breakfast eater. I get up and try to get into my day as quickly as possible. And I usually just have the Diet Coke so that I've got a little more waking up to do.
All right. What's the getting into your day, Gary?
Getting into my day means I try to get into the office early just to kind of greet people as they come into work. And my work, I work with people with serious mental illness, and part of that I run a couple drop-ins, one in Virginia, one in Hibbing, and usually consumers are waiting at the door before staff even show up, because it's kind of their second home. And so even in the winter, the coldest days, there's always people waiting at the door to get in, so I always try to get there a little early to make sure that they don't just stand out in the elements.
Yeah.
But so then my day at work starts first with them having coffee with colleagues and consumers, and then on to the great day of paperwork and meetings.
Oh, the paperwork sounds like fun.
Yeah. The best part of the day always is the early morning chats. So
just getting to catch up with everybody?
Yeah, yeah. But this past month, I've been real busy. You got my garden in. I got a little vacation in already this year.
You did? Well, good for you. What'd you do?
An old buddy of mine and I, we've been canoeing. I think this was our 30th straight year we've done a river trip or the Boundary Waters together. And this year we decided to stay close to home, and we canoed the Big Fork River.
Oh, where'd you start?
Well, we started in Big Fork, and we were going to go all the way to the Rainy River, but we did over 90 miles in 3 days. We got to Big Falls. There was a daunting half-mile portage there, so we decided, like old guys, we've done enough. There's nothing more for us to really accomplish, and we called their wives to come home.
So they picked you up.
Yeah.
Good deal. Hey, what was for breakfast on your canoe trip? Come on, make a sell of it. Oh, don't tell me you brought a can of pop with you for that.
No, we didn't. We had flatbread and Spam. And we didn't even bother to cook the Spam.
Oh, no.
We travel real light.
Now, is that Spam in the can where you crank it open still, or do they have
spam
that in
the
foil?
Can. You crank it open, yeah, you pull it out.
So you smushed it down and you packed everything out with you, no doubt.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Beautiful trip. So it was. I would recommend. The fourth day we were on the river, we ran into some DNR people, and they said that the river is hardly ever used for canoeing, and it was such
really?
A beautiful trip. And the wildlife on that river is just unbelievable. We saw bears and wolves, and like every half mile there'd be another nesting pair of swans. It was just unreal.
Wow. Did you see any other canoers?
No, we didn't.
It was just you guys.
Yeah, we saw a few fishermen, you know, at favorite holes and things, but that was even far and in between. The neat thing about that river is there are so many bridges crossing it that folks could break down easily and have many different half-day, full-day trips. It was just wonderful.
Uh-huh. Many rapids?
There's a couple. You have to be careful. There's what's called Big Falls up in Big Falls, and then there's Little American Falls. You have to definitely portage them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple smaller ones that, you know, with a little experience, if you have a little experience, canoeing shouldn't be too hard. But most of it is very flat and steady, and you can just kind of sit back and let the current take you.
And eat your spam in the can right while you're
in the can.
Right while you're floating down. Just do a little J-stroke occasional or rudder, huh?
Yeah.
Are there places
to... Some of it is so quiet and tranquil, you really do get the sense you're in the wilderness.
Wow. Oh, that's great to know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. How about campsites?
Campsites? The DNR keeps up, I think, in the part of the river we did, there were four campsites at different intervals, and they're all within an easy day's reach of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They do a very good job of keeping them up, and they're only canoe accessible.
Ooh.
The DNR is prepared to have paddlers. It's just not used a lot.
So it's not like you're going to pull up and you've got five RVs and a few trailers.
No,
that you've got to compete with.
It's... You have to contend with no one else but tired paddlers.
And maybe a bear or two?
Or a bear, too. I'm sure that happens occasionally.
No bears at your campsites this time?
Not at our campsites, but we saw two families along the bank, and one time we scared them, and the cubs scampered up the tree. So as we drifted by, we were able to just kind of sit there and watch the cubs watch us and hear the mother off in the woods, you know, snorting and grunting for them to come back. The most spectacular thing is we came upon a wolf who was walking along the river bank, and he didn't seem to mind us. I mean, he may have been wondering what we were, but he trotted along, kept pace with the canoe for I bet 200-300 feet, and it was just a magnificent animal, just beautiful.
Now, a couple buddies going on a canoe trip. You guys have been doing this for years, right?
Yep.
I take it you shave every day?
No.
You leave that.
We're lucky to change before we come out. But what's kind of neat about our friendship is very little words are needed anymore once we do make camp. We've done the same thing, you know, for 30 years. So we jump out, he starts straightening up the gear. I go find the fire pit and starts the fire to keep us warm. He sets up the tent, I'm cooking. And usually by the end of the meal, we have a little coffee, we chat a little bit, and we're in bed.
Sounds...
Old guys don't sit up and tell stories late into the night anymore.
Yeah, you both know they're all lies, right? Either
That's right, or you've
heard them 100 times.
Each other's lies.
Oh, that one again, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, last time you told me that.
Yeah, really? It's changed. It's got a little bigger this time, didn't
it? That's right. Yeah.
All right, so what'd you do for supper then? Spam can number two?
We had packed different things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we ended up we'd usually just make some kind of flatbed bird sandwich, and we used the spam a lot more than we had planned. we would get up, you know, we'd be on the water by 6. We probably wouldn't stop paddling until 7:30.
Oh, wow.
And just really wasn't interested in eating. You know, we'd warm ourselves up, you know, warm up the old creaky bones.
Yeah.
Then we'd be in bed and get up and repeat it the next day.
Yeah. Now
it was wonderful.
Oh, good. You're from Hibbing. Are you born and raised up here, or give us the background?
No, I came to Hibbing. Probably close to 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm originally from southern Minnesota, down in Waseca. It's almost Iowa.
Uh-huh.
So the corn country is big. In fact, when we met up, my wife and I, she's also from Waseca. When we moved up here, my dream was to, you know, have a nice house in the woods or to live on a lake. And we were driving around looking at properties, and she saw this house in the middle of a big field. And that's where we are because it reminds her of home.
Ah, so she's not crowded in by trees.
That's
right,
right
next.
That's right. If she wants to be claustrophobic, she has to be around cornfields. She's in the woods.
All right. When did you become a member, or when did you start listening to KAXE?
Well, when I first got up here.
Uh-huh.
So that's been a long time, and I'm blanking. Doris Kologi. My daughter's grade school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I used to listen to KXE, and I loved the Weather Mom on the weekends. And I probably listened to KXC for 3-4 years before I figured out, or I think Doris even had to tell me that it was her.
That's right. She did the
out in California, out in Washington, D.C., giving us the news on local weather.
The weather mom. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
So she got my daughter to start doing it. And
your daughter before you. Oh.
Yeah, she was in sixth grade when she was doing volunteer work at KXC, and she would then need an adult with her on weekends, and so I started to drive her over, and it looked like fun. So then I started doing some volunteering, and so I've been at it, I think I'm on my 16th year as a volunteer at KXC.
And you do a great job.
I appreciate it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, and you can tell. You bring music from all different eras, and you've had your son on with you, too, haven't you?
Yes. Last time I did a show, he asked to go along. He hadn't done it as a child, but he really enjoyed it, and he said next time he comes up, he's down in the cities, he said he'd like to do it again. And what was needed, it brings even more variety to the show, because, of course, his taste and generation is a little different from what I normally play, but... I think that's people appreciate that up here, just to have a variety of good music.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to go back between the two different generations there. Well, Gary's getting a little bit more modern here from his usual my favorite geezer type music for us geezers. That was a lot of fun.
You're in the saddle the whole weekend now by yourself, I understand.
Well, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters annual event is going on down in the city, so yeah, I'm kind of holding down the fort alone here, my first time, and having a good time doing it. And sure appreciate you coming on What's for Breakfast. And Gary, What's for Breakfast is made possible with support from Homestead Mills of Cook, Minnesota. Homestead Mills is a multifaceted manufacturer of specialty flour and mixes, agricultural seed, livestock and wildlife feed, and a retail provider of farm and garden items. They're online at homesteadmills.com. And because you have been our guest, or you've allowed us to be your guests at your kitchen table, even though it was a can of pop, diet pop. Some people are thrilled with that.
Yeah.
You have your choice of wild rice pancakes as a gift from Homestead Mills. Wild rice pancakes, blend of wild rice and wheat flours, or country blend cereal, cracked wheat, cracked rye, cracked wild rice, and whole wheat flax. What's your fancy there, Gary?
I would like to try the cereal. I've never had that. That sounds just fascinating.
The cereal. You think you'll haul that with you on your next canoe trip?
You darn right.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Light packable. It's going.
Thanks so much for talking with us and for being a member and for volunteering your time at KAXE. We sure appreciate your music and your great sense of humor. Not to mention your golden voice, too.
Well, I always like listening to you. You bring such a brightness to the air.
Oh, thanks, Gary.
Okay, you have a good one, though.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.